today on Real Radio.
You may be feeling this morning, man, I don't feel God anywhere. Well, God is not only here, God is with you. And you don't even have to be a Christian this morning to be experiencing God's presence in your life. Maybe things are falling apart at the seams and you feel there's no way out and you've come in desperation. But maybe God, who is sovereign and all-knowing and eternal, has led you to this point in time.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Paul Pleads Guilty, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul's first missionary journeys. Now Paul is back in Jerusalem, and he's ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Where's God When You Need Him from Acts chapter 23, we saw how God was at work in Paul's life, even though he looked as though God had abandoned him. Now Paul had been planting the seed of Christianity all over the known world. Still, his Christianity was being attacked by those he loves, the Jewish brethren. There will be those who will come against us in our faith in Christ, but you see, that's when God is protecting us the most. Now in Acts chapter 24, we'll see that Paul pleads guilty before his accusers, but his confession was for following the Lord. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that like Paul, our situation may look like it's coming apart at the seams, and a feeling of desperation sets in. But God has led us to this point in time for a purpose that we may not yet understand. And the truth is, he hasn't left us to go it alone, but he's with us all along the way. And now, in his lesson called Paul Pleads Guilty, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bible this morning and turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. The title of the message this morning is Paul Pleads Guilty. He's been arrested, you know, if you've been traveling along with us in the book of Acts and following Paul's life, he's come to Jerusalem. He wants to give money that had been given by all of the Gentile churches that he had visited. He had taken collections at each of those often home fellowships and brought together the funds and the resources, and was bringing them to Jerusalem because the church in Jerusalem was starving. They were going through extreme poverty, and they were in great need. Paul comes to Jerusalem. James, the head of the church there, James, the half-brother of Jesus, Matthew 13:55 declares to us, greets Paul and says, hey, Paul, we're glad that you're here, but you carry with you quite a reputation. Number one, everywhere you go, there's a riot. And also that, you know, you talk a lot about grace and God's forgiveness, and that's great, Paul, but well, we've got a lot of people in the church here who've come out of Judaism. They're very legalistic, and a lot of them still keep the law. So can you kind of go a little easy, and can you kind of play along with us a bit? Will you go into the temple with the guys that you've brought with you and make sacrifice, make a vow, and consecrate that vow so that nobody will have anything to say, just so it kind of looks good, you know, kind of indulge us a little bit. And Paul, being the great sport that he is, well, you know, okay. And being freed from that, Christ delivers you from the law. Paul says, sure. Goes along with the deal to appease the natives, the native brothers, believers. But what happened was, when Paul goes into the temple area to do his worship, there is this plot to overthrow him and false accusations. They begin to curse Paul and begin to accuse him that he's bringing Gentiles into the temple area. He didn't do that at all. Well, he was arrested for his own protection. They were going to rip him in half, and the centurions were taking him up to the fortress Antonio to spare his life as a mob of Jews were coming after the Apostle Paul, and they were going to kill him. And he says to the centurion, can you hang on a minute? He goes, oh, you speak Greek. He said, well, yes, I do. And can you hold on a minute? Well, sure. And Paul turns around and looks down from the stairs over the crowd, and he says, men and brethren, and he speaks in Hebrew, and they all, oh, okay, he's speaking in our own tongue. This is kind of neat. It's very quiet. Paul begins to say, listen, what's the big hubbub, you know? And he begins to talk about God working in his life. But then he comes to a statement, which includes all of you or 99% of you this morning. Paul says, hey, listen, God wants to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And that was it. They just went berserk and they wanted to kill him. And so they drug, that is the centurions, drug Paul inside to save him and determined that he was better off going to Felix, the governor of the area of Judea, and having his court session held there because they didn't want to tamper with this very touchy issue. Do you remember last time together or the last few times together, the guys that were plotting to kill Paul, some zealots, they said a vow to God and they said, you know what, God, we're going to vow to you because they think they're doing God a service. We're going to vow to you, God, that we're not going to eat a thing until Paul's dead. That's how committed we are to you. So they're on this fast. All of a sudden, they look out the window of their condo and they look down the street. 470 armed soldiers are taking Paul to Caesarea under armed guard. Now, just about then, if you were those 40 guys, your stomach would have been protesting. I think we're in trouble. Who was the guy that had this idea of fasting anyway? Off goes Paul under Roman guard, kept safe. Winds up in Felix's area. Felix, nasty guy. We talked about him last time. Ruthless. He was not beyond murder. He had done that, killing Jonathan, one of the priests. Bad guy. He was known to be, first of all, a slave who became a slave by being arrested. He was a thief and a robber. Felix the cat. That's where it comes from. Cat burglar. Right there. I'm just joking. He's actually Felix the rat. This guy's a bad guy. And that's who we'll see Paul standing before this morning. Chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Now after the 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. That's a big bunch of baloney. But anyway, nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. We have found this man a plague, a creator of dissensions among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of a sect of Nazarenes. He even profaned the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. And all the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself. Because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone nor enticing the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all the things which are written in the law and the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to keep a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, and in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a multitude nor with tumult. They ought to have been brought before you to object if they have anything against me. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement, which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day. And that is the case, by the way. Paul was following the way. Not to be confused with the Way International. Victor Paul Werwill and his cult. Unfortunately, it's called The Way. The early church back in New Testament times was called The Way. It wasn't called Christianity or Christians. That was a derogatory term. That was a bad word, believe it or not. It was called The Way. They were known to be people of The Way. What is The Way? Jesus says, I am The Way. That's what The Way is. And Paul hadn't lost his way. He was right in the middle of The Way. And he was being attacked for believing in The Way, Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Did you hear about the guy last night on the news who lost his way in Seoul, Korea? Did you hear this? I got it down for you if you missed it. Cho Song-chul, 51-year-old construction consultant, Seoul, Korea, last night. Says here that after leaving a celebration party concerning the new year, he was walking down the street in a drunken stupor and fell into an open manhole cover, falling 19 feet 7 inches to the bottom. He was knocked down and knocked unconscious. What happened was a street attendant came by and put the manhole cover back on top of the sewer lid. And after coming to, he wandered around the sewers for 7 days trying to find a way out. He fell in there on December 28th. When they interviewed him, how did you survive? He said, well, I didn't have anything to eat, and there was really no suitable drinking water. No kidding. Comes out of the ground, man. They hoist the guy up, living in a sewer. He lost his way on his way home from a party, falls into a hole, and is in a pit of darkness. That's what happens when you lose your way in the world. You begin to stink. Everything seems to look the same. Experience life on this end, experience life on that end, and eventually it's an absolute dead end. No way out. It smells. A lot of people are experiencing that today. You can see people who have made millions and millions of dollars and have spent millions, and they're absolutely miserable. What did they learn that you and I who do not have millions have not yet learned yet? Or maybe we have. That happiness cannot be found in material gain and wealth, and the heart has been created to worship God and know God. And this morning you may be open to that, or you may have been drug here because you've been promised a brunch at Mimi's or something, and you'll go along with the deal for the next 45 minutes because there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Well, listen, your heart might be changed, I hope. Paul had not lost his way. He was following Jesus Christ, always a safe thing to do. And remember last time as he was going through this hearing and all and getting into the things that led him to Felix, there was no mention of God, but God's providential care was there. You may be feeling this morning, man, I don't feel God anywhere. Well, God is not only here, God is with you. And you don't even have to be a Christian this morning to be experiencing God's presence in your life. Maybe things are falling apart at the seams and you feel there's no way out and you've come in desperation. But maybe God, who is sovereign and all-knowing and eternal, has led you to this point in time. Certainly for us who are believers and know Him a little bit more, we can attest to the fact that God has been with us all along the way, even though we didn't understand everything. God is here. But in verses 1 through 9, I want you to jot this down in your notes. We're going to see really in this guy Tertullius a personification of the worldview toward you as a Christian. I talked with an attorney the other day who happens to be representing us regarding our escrow and land and stuff and actually working with us, I should say. And he's not a Christian. We're praying for him. But it was interesting because we've been recently attacked, which is nothing new, but it's kind of exciting, to be honest with you. But the guy was calling to ask me a question regarding this, and we were talking about that. And he was saying, I'm just sick and tired of Christians getting a really bum deal in this world, and I'm really fed up, and I, for one. Well, he gave this great talk. I mean, it was great. And I was the wrong audience for him to be saying it to, but he doesn't know the Lord. But you would have thought he was his best friend. I mean, it was him and Jesus, you know, all the way. And I hope that is the result of our dealings with one another. But the world out there is against you because you believe in Christ. Listen, you've got the hope of heaven. House burns down, you might cry. You lost those pictures and, you know, wow. But you know what? God's with us. and your neighbors that are driving them crazy. You got peace, drives them nuts. Come on, panic with us. No, I've got the Lord. Oh, come on. Have you noticed that? Drink another beer. Oh, I don't need any beer. Well, drink one. I don't want it. I've got God. I'm fine. I don't need a high. I got the Lord. And they get all uncomfortable. I'll just hold my Bible. You hold your beer and we'll talk. And they can't handle that. They're looking for peace. They're looking for an answer. You've got the answer. But the world can't stand when we stand up and say, listen, we have the answer. Are you caught up in something? We've got the answer. It's not us. Jesus is the answer. Isn't that a great thing? Well, unfortunately, it's not always received. Verses 1 through 9, we see the world's view against us and against Christ. Watch this. Now, after 5 days, Ananias, who, by the way, at this time is a very old man, he makes the trip to see to it that Paul hangs. That's why he's making this tough trip. Ananias, the high priest, came down with the elders to a certain orator they brought with them named Tertullius. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. Verse 2, and when he was called, that is Tertullius, he began his accusation. This is a crack-up. You ever seen a pitcher on a pitcher's mound? Opening pitch of the game. What's the guy doing? He's warming up for one thing. And then right, you know, he knows when they turn the cameras on, I think. Because, you know, he's missing, he's got his hat gone, he's spitting here, he's spitting there, he's taking his glove off and on, he's moving the ball around, and he's kind of doing all kinds of wiggly things, you know? And he's getting all ready. This is exactly what's implied here with this guy Tertullius. He's kind of getting up there, and you know, you can almost see him, you know, get his throat all pumped up and get it all healthy, and he's got his attorney's robe. That's what he was, by the way, the orator here. He's the attorney representing the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's all ready to go. This guy is slick. And he gets ready for his wind-up pitch, and he says, listen to the delivery. It says in verse 2, seeing, he's addressing Felix, seeing that through you, Felix, we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Right about then, you can see Paul going, oh. I mean, listen, everybody knew Felix was an absolute rat. This guy's bad news. He was a murderer. And the funny thing is, Felix knew exactly what the Sanhedrin thought about him. But the guy that they hired stands up there and says, man, we just think you're the tops. And he's basically, yeah, right. You guys have got an agenda here. Verse 4. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. For we have found this man, that is Paul, a plague. We found him to be a plague. A creator of dissensions among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of Nazarenes. First of all, this word plague in the Greek is a great word. It means a disease, a pest, a rodent, a bug, a virus. That's what it means. This guy's a virus. He's a bug. He's bugging everybody. He's going around telling people about the Lord. Hope, salvation, resurrection, peace. Life after death. This guy's a pest. We don't want to hear it. Creator of dissensions. He's an instigator of a cult religion. Why did he bring this up? Because Rome decreed that there were no acceptable religions that could be added to the kingdom. Judaism was accepted. And he was wrong in calling Paul a creator of a sect because, listen, is Christianity a sect? It is not. What is Christianity? Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. Did you know that? Christianity, if you follow Judaism in the Old Testament and obey it, you will come to be a Christian. Example, Paul the Apostle. Followed Judaism to the letter, and it led him to Christianity. Christianity is not 2,000 years old, contrary to Time or Newsweek magazine. Christianity was in the beginning because it's Christ. Jesus is the one who saves. All other attempts is man's reaching out to save himself, called religion. Christianity is God coming down and reaching man. That's the great difference. That's why there's a great struggle between Christianity and grace and religion and legalism. You can never melt the two together, oil and water. It won't work. You are either a Christian and enjoying the grace and the forgiveness of God and a new life, or you're dead, burned out, pooped out, and tired in religion because you've been bound under a legalistic rule. You cannot bring the two together. Jesus said of himself, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Is that what you know today? I like to just put it in the Jack version, and that is, if Christianity is a pain, you're doing it wrong. Following Jesus, the way. But they're accusing him. This guy's a disease. And they're coming against him. These people have been given the truth, and yet they were fighting against that very truth. It says in verse 6, he even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. First of all, he didn't profane the temple. That is an absolute lie. And yes, they could judge him according to their laws. Rome allowed Israel to kill a blasphemer. That was their only capital jurisdiction they had over a man's life. But Paul was not guilty, but they're lying. They're coming against him. Verse 7 says, but the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, and commanding his accusers to come to you, by examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things which we accuse him. And this is their attack. They, coming together, united, says in verse 9, and the Jews, those are the people that hired him, also assented, maintaining that these things were so. As soon as he said that, you know what, Felix, just examine the guy. You'll find out that everything we're saying is true. And all the grandstands went, here. Yes, that's true. Nail him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Paul Pleads Guilty. Thanks for listening, and be encouraged. You can trust 100% upon the accuracy of the Bible. You can rest assured that you can build your life upon it, and you can expect fully that all that it says will come to pass. Paul Pleads Guilty is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Have you had a chance to check out Pastor Jack's YouTube channel yet? It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and there are literally hundreds of videos to choose from, along with a variety of topics that are available. But what I'd like to draw your attention to at this moment is a specific series called Engage the Culture. Each episode starts with a sort of what does the Bible say about, and then a specific topic will be explored, such as what does the Bible say about marijuana and drug use? Or what does the Bible say about socialism? Other cultural topics include feminism, transgenderism, racism, as well as what does the Bible say about gun control, border control, and abortion? Again, a lot of topics to choose from, lots of questions will be answered, and a whole lot of information on how to share salvation through Jesus Christ in a world that has a lot of very different cultural and spiritual views on life. And don't forget to hit that notification tab for all the latest videos that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. And if you've got any questions for us, or maybe you'd like to know more about what Pastor Jack has to offer, you can also head over to our website. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.